Let's sing.
Hear the holy roar of God resound. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what He has done for us.
Welcome to Crossway today. Please join us as we worship God and hear His word.
Be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
matchless in every way. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious, 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 matchless in
I want to give a very warm welcome to anyone who's joining us online, wherever you are around the world, or if you're joining us at our southeastern campus at Nossal High School. It's great to have you with us today too. We are looking at the theme, the return of Christ today, his second coming. It's a topic that's not spoken of often from platforms across our nation, but it's a very common topic in the scriptures. I had a gentleman come into church at our first service today who said to me he didn't think he'd heard a sermon on the return of Christ in 25 years. I actually felt a little embarrassed by that, I have to say. I'm in my 10th year here at Crossway. I have spoken into that domain before, but I didn't actually just set one message apart exclusively for this purpose, and so we're doing it today. Now, if you heard Pastor Tim Pierce's message from last Sunday, which had more than 250,000 views through Facebook of that message. He actually began the message with this verse from Acts chapter 1 as he spoke about the ascension, where in verse 11 it says, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven." So Tim spoke about the ascension last Sunday. I'm going to pick up the second part of this verse where it says, "And if anything that's in orange today, I invite you to join me in the reading. But someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Someday he's going to return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. He's going to come back. So today's message is going to be just a little different, only in as much as anytime I preach, I try and preach the Bible. I don't try and preach good ideas and all that sort of stuff. I don't try and preach my best thinking. I try and preach the Bible. And we're going to see today in Matthew chapter 24, that is going to be our text, the entire chapter. And it's Jesus speaking for the entire chapter about this exact theme. That's why I thought we would just kind of try and go with his full statement. But he did continue his statement into chapter 25, if you want to read that privately. You can also look at 2 Thessalonians and also 2 Peter, for those of you who'd like just to find it a little bit more in the scriptures. But this theme is all over the place. So let's have a look right now at Matthew chapter 24, where it says this. Verse 1, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. No doubt if they had the opportunity, they would have been taking some selfies. They were walking around a whole domain where the facilities were 5 centuries old. Now, that temple precinct was recommissioned in 516 AD, having been demolished in about 586. Oh, did I say AD then? I meant to say BC. It had been recommissioned in 516 BC, having been demolished in 586 BC. And so there was the initial temple that Solomon built. It had been destroyed in 586. It had been rebuilt and recommissioned in 516. So they're walking around a temple precinct that's over 5 centuries old. Pretty cool facilities. Check it out. Look at this. So that's what they're doing as they're walking around. Now, it elicited this statement from Jesus. Jesus responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they'll be completely demolished. And not one stone will be left on top of another." Now, that happened in 70 AD. The Romans destroyed the temple as well as Jerusalem. It has never been rebuilt. If you are familiar with Jerusalem at all, even if you've seen a photograph, you've probably seen that Golden Dome building. It's the second most sacred place in the Islamic faith now. And it is built, that Dome of the Rock is built on the temple site. So excavated underneath, you find the foundations of Solomon's temple and that precinct. And if you're familiar with the Western Wall, where many Jewish people would go and pray and bow and stick their prayers, that is one of the outer retaining walls of Solomon's temple. And so Jesus says, these buildings are going to get destroyed. Now, that statement elicited this question from the disciples. Verse 3, later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, which is just outside Jerusalem. His disciples came to him privately and said, say it with me, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Now, what sign will signal your return? That idea of your return, the word there is parousia. I don't use a lot of Greek words, but the reason I want you to know about that word is because that word had already been used for about 3 centuries, and they used that word parousia to announce if a king or a very significant dignitary was coming to a country or to a city, and they would pre-announce, that would be their parousia, and they'd speak them up, they'd talk them up, how significant they are. You know, if Queen Elizabeth II was coming to Melbourne, you can imagine the advertising campaign, and that would be her parousia. It would be, you know, the announcement of her coming. And they said, so what's going to be the signal of your parousia and the end of the world? So, you know, Jesus saying that this temple is going to be destroyed. And so now the guys are saying, well, tell us about it. Now, this leads Jesus into an expansive statement. This chapter has over 50 verses in it. We're going to read them all this morning and I'm going to comment. But so the rest of this morning's Bible verses are all Jesus making an extended response to the question from the disciples. One, they ask a question about timing, when will this happen? And then they ask a question about a sign, what will be the sign of your parousia or your return, your coming, and the end of the world? Well, if you asked Jesus a question like that, you'd be interested in how he'd respond to it, wouldn't you? Imagine sitting with him at the dinner table. Hey, Jesus, can I just ask you about, like, what's going to be the sign, like, of your coming and, like, the end of the world? And he says, oh, let me tell you about that. You'd tune in, wouldn't you? Okay, well, tune into this message, because we're going to listen to and tune in. Here we go. Jesus, here's some of the things that he says. Firstly, he speaks about the first of the birth pains. We're going to read it all. So he said, verse 4, Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. He repeatedly comes back to that theme. Look it up. Google it. False messiahs. You'll find a list 27 people long just from the Christian domain, let alone messiahs from the Islamic domain or from other domains. There's a good long list of people, even in our lifetime. There's even an Aussie on the list. If you want to go and find him a little north of Victoria. So they're going to come, they're going to say, claiming I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and threats of wars. Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come, with more to come. Now, I've been through the birth of four children. It's a very painful process. I want you to know it's a very painful process. Edie said it was quite painful for her as well. And it takes time. You're sitting around waiting and... can we get on with this? You know, but when those birth pains happen, something has begun that is now inevitable. And Jesus is speaking about nations going to war, famines and earthquakes. Now, for what it's worth, I looked at multiple sites with regards to earthquakes. It might surprise you. There are about 1 million earthquakes of various magnitudes annually, globally. And reputable sites who don't have an axe to grind on it say it's actually still a pretty stable number and has been a stable number for some time. Those who want to read that it's really ramping up will find ways of stacking up those stats to make it look like it's dramatically increasing in our age, but it appears actually that it's not. But there are a lot of earthquakes, for what that's worth. Famines are a regular part of life, and the UN tells us there are about 45 wars happening at any one time in the global community. And so, in one sense, you can say, Jesus, what you said is happening all of the time, has been happening all the time, and continues to happen all of the time. And he says, hang on, there's more to come than that. He speaks about Christian persecution next. In verse 9, he says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Now, it might surprise you, or it might not, but the United Nations says that the Christian faith is the most persecuted faith in all of the world. Annually, roughly 100,000 Christians are killed because they are Christians. That's one person every 6 minutes, a Christian. In the context of this message, which will go roughly for half an hour, that will be five people whose lives are taken because they are Christians. Now, we live in Australia where many Australian Christians feel nervous to be identified as a follower of Jesus because someone might raise their eyebrows at them. But there are Christians across the world who lay their lives down and they will not deny Christ. Imagine the Christians in northern Iraq or Syria as ISIS moved through, and so many would not deny their faith, and they gave their lives because they would not deny their faith. Think of the Coptic Christians in Egypt just recently who are the victims of suicide bombers. And this is just but a small sampler that has come to our eyes and ears through the media. But that process of 100,000 Christians being killed each and every year these days, that is a normal part of what's going down. That is a map of the hottest spots. The darker the colour, we go from high to extreme, and the moderate is not even demonstrated on that global map. Again, you can look that sort of thing up. Verse 11, Jesus said, and many false prophets will appear and will deceive many